Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, magic makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, magic makers, it's this week's iTunes review. Amy W. Fitness says, Kim knows her stuff. Keeps it real on all levels. 5 stars. Awesome podcast series on relatable topics that women deal with. Kim's advice, along with her sense of humor, is what everyone needs to find their fit girl magic. Well, thank you so much, Amy W. Fitness. That warms my heart. If you haven't yet left your review, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast and hit rate, and then hopefully it's a 5-star hint, and leave me a review. Thanks.
Hey, magic makers. Today I had a great conversation. It was all about vegan. You know, many of you are, I'm going to call you vegan curious. You are thinking about going vegan. You want to know more about vegan. And, you know, you ask a lot of questions. And I was like, you know what? I need to bring someone onto the show that just knows their stuff. And that's what I did. And we talked all about what the heck is Beyond Meat, Impossible Burgers. How do you fit that into your nutrition? Or do you? How do you make it work when you're the only vegan in the house? Where do you go? Where can you eat vegan foods or good vegan food? And it's not just freaking tofu or french fries, you know? So those are the kind of questions that we talked about today. And, you know, she gave some amazing tips, tricks, hacks, and have a listen. And I'd love to hear your feedback. Like, what's one takeaway that you got from today's show?
Okay. So many of you have asked me the question about veganism, and I get it. It's totally like this hot new thing out there. I think it's almost as hot as keto. I'm not sure. We'll have to ask. Anywho, I know enough to be dangerous. I read, I research because I got to keep up with y'all. But when you run out of runway with your knowledge, you got to tap into experts. And so I found me one. Her name's Val Hernandez, and she, one, is adorable. So follow her on Instagram. But two, I like her a lot because she's reasonable. She's not one of these like vegan Nazis out there that is like, you know, plants for life and, you know, wearing hemp clothes and, you know, all that magical stuff. She's a normal person who can help you transition or find that balance. Like, I like to call it vegan-ish. So we're going to have this frank conversation about veganism. And, you know, I'd love for you guys to chime in to either myself or Val and just ask us questions, because there's so much, I'm going to say it, bullshit out there that we want to cut through that right now. And so I'm sure as you're listening, you might have heard some bullshit and you're like, is this bullshit or is this true? So definitely hit us up. I'm going to give you all the socials in our in the show notes. So, all right. I want to welcome Val to the show.
Hey, everyone. My name is Valeria, and I go by Vale, and my Instagram is Veggie Vale because I love vegetables. But I, as Kim said, I am a vegan health coach. So I really think it's so important as a vegan to be as welcoming as possible. You know, not everyone wants to go 100% vegan, and I'm totally okay with that. But I think it's important for you to have knowledge on it so that you can make an empowered decision and really eat in alignment with your ethics, with, you know, if you care about sustainability, about animals, having that knowledge so that you can have a diet that helps you feel energized, helps you thrive and feel your best and just feel super good about what you're eating. And you don't feel shame for, you know, maybe slipping up sometimes, because we're all human and that's okay.
And that's one of the main reasons why I wanted you on the show, is because you aren't one of these like hardcore, like if you are not in the vegan lane, if like, you know, from time to time, maybe you have a craving for a hamburger. Go for it, you know, versus, well, it wasn't plant-based, so you're no longer vegan.
Right. Yeah. And I think that I call them militant vegans.
Yes.
I understand where their passion comes from. I truly do, because I've just watched so many horrific slaughterhouse videos. And when once you see those things, it's kind of hard to disassociate from the animal products. Right. But at the same time, not everyone has seen those slaughterhouse videos and not everyone wants to see them. It's very traumatizing, especially if you're an empath and have, you know, are a highly sensitive person like myself. So it's important to remember, you know, the militant vegans aren't the entirety of the vegan movement. In fact, I think that they make up a smaller percentage than we think. They're just kind of the loudest. So there tends to be this stereotype when it comes to vegans of like, they walk in the room and tell everyone they're vegan and they think that they're better than you and all these things. When in reality, most of the vegans I know in real life are the complete opposite of that. They're like the most humble humans and they just want to live in a more compassionate, sustainable place. And I think that at the end of the day, like we all want that.
Right. So now what made you go vegan?
Yeah. So my vegan journey started when I was pretty young, actually. I didn't go vegan when I was young, but I was eating fish. I was around like 8 years old, 9 years old. And my dad said, oh, that fish you're eating could be Flounder's cousin. At the time, I was obsessed with The Little Mermaid. Ariel was my jam. Like, she was my favorite. I just really love, I've always been fascinated by the ocean and marine life. And that kind of incited this light bulb moment. And as a kid, I made that connection of like, the fish I'm eating used to be alive. And similar to like how Flounder is alive and is happy and has friends, like that fish that I was eating used to have a life. So ever since then, I was like very wary of eating meat. My parents told me I needed it for protein and I grew up Mexican. So it's a very meat heavy food culture. And I had to write a persuasive essay in high school to finally convince them to let me go vegetarian. So I went vegetarian when I was 15. And then just through more research and watching documentaries and getting exposed to, you know, all the different reasons why people reduce their animal product consumption, like their health and environmental reasons, sustainability, and also animal rights. I finally met my first vegan friend in college. And before meeting her, I thought all vegans ate was like salad and wheatgrass shots. I thought it was like this super intense, you know, what you were saying about like wearing all hemp and like just eating all the green things and nothing else. But she showed me that it's actually pretty practical and pretty easy, especially now in 2020. I can't think of a single thing that can't be veganized now. So it's pretty amazing. But I went vegan 5 years ago now. And at first I was very confused and very lost. but I realized, you know, I kind of had to hit this low point, which many of us, you know, we get to that point where we're sick and tired of our BS and we are like, something needs to change. So I hit that point when I was junk food vegan.
Yeah.
And I felt like absolute garbage. And I was like, I'm vegan and I'm not even healthy. Like, what the hell? Like, this is bullshit. Like, I didn't sign up for this. I want to be healthy. Like, I'm vegan. What's the deal? And I realized, I hired a health coach and she made me realize, you know, the actual things I'm eating are not healthy. Like, I'm eating highly processed, you know, it was a lot of like vegan substitutes, pizza. Right. It was a lot of that junk. So she helped me figure out how to eat whole foods, plant-based. And ever since then, I've been raving about the health benefits of even just like being mostly plant-based. I'm totally plant-based vegan, but most of my clients that I work with, they don't go 100% vegan, but they will go like mostly plant-based. And I think having that flexibility for them makes it less intimidating as well.
Right. So let's, you know, there's like so many things that I'm like, oh crap, we got to unpack. I was like, I was taking notes as you were writing. So But step one is the ethical, I'm going to call it the ethical vegan, right? And there are many of them, mm-hmm. you know, I have a couple of clients who that's them, you know, they made that connection like you did and you're just mm-hmm. like, man, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And so for those people, you know, I think the switch is pretty easy because they just have, you know, just made that association. Now, the mm-hmm. second piece of it is that, you know, you mentioned how maybe I'm sitting here and I'm like, well, I go into the grocery store and I see these plant-based products. Mm-hmm. How am I to know what is, you know, the junk food versus, mm-hmm. you know, the true stuff that has, you know, they've actually taken the time to create a true healthy plant-based product?
Mm-hmm. Such a good question. I think the easiest way when you're in the grocery store physically is ask yourself, where am I? Like, am I in the perimeter or am I in the inside part where there's a lot of the packaged things and the processed things? And I'm not saying that, you know, anything that's gone through a process is inherently bad for you, but it is good to stay, you know, in your produce section or like with the whole grains, the legumes. Those are your whole foods, plant-based things. And when you get closer into the inner part of the grocery store and you have, you know, maybe like your Beyond Burgers or your veggie burgers, it's more of a matter of reading the ingredients mm-hmm. label. Like that is so yes. key, because just because something says plant-based doesn't mean that it's healthy. And I think the term plant-based is kind of, like you said, this hot buzzword where right. companies use it interchangeably with vegan. But for me, plant-based means like it's literally based off of plants.
Right.
And I don't think, I mean, technically a Beyond Burger, at some point it was a plant, but like it doesn't really resemble a plant at all anymore. And like Beyond Burger, you know, I think I would classify that as like more towards like the vegan junk food side of things. And I'm not saying it's bad for you. Would I say eat it every day? Like, I wouldn't recommend that. Right. But yeah, knowing just what is actually in your food is so crucial when you're trying to make that decision of like, okay, is this good for me? Is this something I want to eat every day? Or is this going to be more of a treat, like, you know, the 20% of the 80-20 lifestyle? Right.
So it's funny that you talked about Beyond Burgers, and it's Beyond, I think, Impossible. I can't think of the next, the other brand that's out there that's kind of become this like behemoth. So for mm-hmm. you, like my, you know, kind of, you know, brand that I'm always like, just don't buy from them mm-hmm. and is Morningstar. Like they just always have been just very processed, you know, mm-hmm. like, and, you know, it's a, like you said, it's a limited thing to have. It's like having Cheerios or mm-hmm. having, you know, going to McDonald's. I'm never right. going to say don't go to McDonald's, but mm-hmm. I'm going to say it's not going to be your 80% of your meal.
Exactly.
So for those people listening and you know, I want to give two snaps up and a tic tac to, you know, Beyond and Impossible for the marketing that they've done, because they've done a really great job, especially, mm-hmm. you know, feeding into this vegan frenzy, if you will. But mm-hmm. for people listening and you're trying to do this as for a health benefit, you know, sure, have one at a barbecue. Great. But are you having it every week? Is it replacing the beef that you normally have? Maybe that's something for you to take a step back and say, okay, maybe it's once or twice a month I have, not every week. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, the mission of these companies is not to like have the healthiest human population. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're like directly going against our health on purpose. Their whole mission is to make animal products obsolete. Which, you know, are we ever going to have a 100% vegan world? I don't know. I highly doubt it.
Right.
Maybe a pessimist or a realist, who knows? But I think it is so good to have those options for people who maybe want to reduce their carbon footprint or just can't stomach the idea of eating a dead animal. So it is important to like have those options. But again, like, let's not get confused on just because it's vegan doesn't mean it's healthy. You know,
yeah. And I think that's a really good point you made there, because I feel like so many people, you know, think going vegan is healthier. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think it's like a runway, right? I'm at an airport and I can take the left runway or I can take the right runway. Mm-hmm. And so right or left isn't better. It's just different.
So true. And there's actually this statistic that blows me away, which is part of the reason why I even decided to become a vegan health coach, is like 85% of the people that go vegan don't end up staying vegan. They end up going back to eating meat and animal products and whatever else they ate before going vegan. I think a huge part of that is that they don't go vegan in a way that is actually benefiting them, mm-hmm. in an actual healthy way. They are just kind of winging it. They're kind mm-hmm. of Googling, you know, going off free resources offline. Maybe they use like PETA's vegan starter guide. And at the end of the day, like, no hate on PETA. They're primarily an animal rights group. Actually, some hate because they do very problematic things. But they're mainly an animal rights group. So right. Their main concern is not your health. It's saving animal lives.
Right.
So when you're following their guide, like, it's not, you're not following the tips from like a nutritionist or a dietitian or like a health coach that actually knows what the F you need to be eating for your health, or, you know, getting your vitamins, getting your B12, iron, all these things that like vegans tend to be deficient in, because there's just not enough talk about what it looks like to be a healthy vegan and be eating meals that are balanced and fulfilling, so that you can actually stick with veganism and not be one of the statistics like in the 85%.
All right. So like, that's a great segue. So, you know, what would a healthy vegan look like? Like, what a healthy vegan eat?
So good. Great question. I would say, so I'm just going to speak to like what I eat and what I teach, because I consider myself pretty healthy. I like to practice what I preach. Right. So I stick to main food groups like legumes. So that's our beans, our lentils, edamame, chickpeas, you know, all of that like good plant protein, as well as whole grains. So like quinoa, brown rice, oatmeal, whole grain bread, pasta, like whole grain pasta or gluten-free. There's like that protein pasta now too, which is so good. And then we have our produce, right? Like our fruits, vegetables, literally so many options there. I could just list them for days. And then our seeds, which is a component of healthy fats. So chia seeds, flax seeds, pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, so good for like topping meals. These are things that like, you know, we need them every day, but not in large amounts, right? But they're so good for like omega-3s and omega-6s, which like, quick side note, Miley Cyrus recently went on vegan. And I'm using air quotes because I just think it's so silly. She's like a multimillionaire and can't figure out how to get omegas in a vegan way. Like, there's so many supplements. That was ridiculous. But yeah, seeds are really good. So Miley Cyrus, if you're listening, go eat some flax seeds. And then we have like our avocados, hummus, you know, other good sources of healthy fats that are important as well. So those are kind of like the main, I would call them whole foods, plant-based foods. But then we also have like our treats that we are eating, and that 20% of the time, maybe you really love pizza. So maybe you'll have some Daya pizza or, you know, Beyond Burger. I really love potato chips. I know that's like not a vegan substitute, but that's kind of like my kryptonite. So, but yeah, I think it's really important to like do keep in mind those treats, but also like know your go-to meals that are going to include a source of complex carbohydrates, plant-based protein, and have some vegetables in there as well. That's kind of how I think whenever I'm making lunch or dinner, it's like, where's my carbs? Where's my protein? Where's my veggies? And then when I have breakfast, I'll be adding fruit in there. My snacks are typically like some sort of, you know, veggies with a dip or hummus. And that's pretty much what I eat.
So, you know, as you were talking, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, so that is all great. So do you meal prep or menu plan at all?
Mm-hmm. I do. I do batch meal prep. So I am the kind of person that I want to like wake up tomorrow and like decide what I'm going to eat for lunch that day. I'm not really huge on like knowing what all my meals will be for the next week. I kind of like to go with the flow with my food, but I will have general themes and have things that I can throw together in a fast way. So what I mean by batch meal prepping is like, for example, Sunday. I was about to say that's yesterday, but no. Never mind. coronavirus has me all messed up with my days. But
everybody.
Yeah. Sunday, I made a ton, like, I think it was like 7 cups of chickpeas. And this is for like me and my boyfriend. I didn't like eat all of it. but I made a ton of chickpeas in my Instant Pot. I made some brown rice, some quinoa. I sauteed black beans with some onion and like a little bit of spices. I sauteed kale and I just like prepped a bunch of like other vegetables and proteins and grains. And what I do throughout the week is I'll just mix and match. So I'll make like a Buddha bowl and top it with like some avocado or sauce that I have on hand. Or I'll do like a stir fry. Or if I do pasta as one of my complex carbs, I'll make a pasta with some veggies and like roasted veggies. So I like to kind of keep it fun that way, but I'm still preparing things ahead of time so that whenever I come to make my lunch or my dinner, it's going to take me like 10 to 20 minutes max.
Right. Yeah. No, that's one of the things I find that I do is like, I like variety. So like, I'm not going to like, you know, have 50 things in Tupperware, like ready to go. Like I'm more of like a buffet where it's like,
yeah,
I'll have a little of this and a little of that, a little of this. Mm-hmm. And it's, so one of the things I always tell, you know, when my clients say, hey, Kim, I want to go vegan. The one of the big things I always say to them is better like to cook.
Yes.
You know, like that's, and so I know for me, and when we talked before we hit record, you know, I did vegan for 6 months. And one of the biggest things that I noticed was that, like you, it was very easy to be a junk food vegan. Mm-hmm. And I could stock up on all the junk food in this grocery store. But I was like, I didn't want to go that route. But I felt like for me to eat and eat well and eat tastefully, I had to cook. Mm-hmm. And so for those people who are, you know, vegan curious, would you recommend like if you have to truly like to cook, or is it something that, you know, can I know a lot of people will do, you know, takeout and things like that. Mm-hmm. Can, you know, if you have the budget, is that a sustainable way to be vegan?
Such a good question. So one, my first note is like, it really depends on where you live. Mm. So for example, I live in Atlanta and I'm like, my apartment is in the city. So I can literally walk to like this Bowls salad place that has a ton of different vegan options. So I'm very privileged in that aspect, but like, I know a lot of people don't live in areas where vegan eating out is as accessible. Like I know you mentioned you live in New England.
I live in Boston.
Okay. So actually the vegan scene in Boston I've heard is pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I can go out to eat. Like one of my biggest downfalls with vegan, I hate tofu. Like I would get so pissed. Do not try to serve me fucking tofu. Like,
yeah.
It'd be like pasta and tofu. And I'm like, there's more.
Yeah.
So for me, eating out was very challenging because everything was typically a tofu thing. And I don't do tofu. Like, then please do not write into me, well, have you had it this way? I don't fucking like it.
Everyone's going to like DM you their favorite tofu recipe.
Right. I don't. Like, the only way I like tofu is literally I would make soup and I would blend the shit out of it and put it in soup. But that was about it.
Okay.
That's about it. Yeah. So like, I know for me personally, yeah, it's now, you know, this was, 5 years ago. And now I feel like if I were to go out, I would be, have more choices.
Yeah.
And I did 5 years ago, but I agree with you. Like if I'm in East Podunk, no offense if you live in East Podunk, and it, you know, vegan hasn't come your way, then you're kind of stuck with probably pasta and tofu.
Or like anything that you can make at home.
Right. Or, you know, a lot of times if I couldn't find something, it would literally be like, I would order like two salads.
Yes. I think so. I've been vegan for 5 years. In that amount of time, things have changed drastically in the restaurant scene. In my earlier vegan days, it was a lot of like French fries and salad. Or I would just be like, quietly drinking my beer because that's vegan and just be mad that everyone else was eating around me.
Right.
So some good resources I think are like Google Maps, just typing in vegan food near me, and it'll recommend restaurants that are not necessarily totally vegan, but actually have vegan options. Or if anyone in the reviews has said the word vegan, it'll pull from that. So that's super helpful. And then joining Facebook groups that are like in your area. So I'm in some Atlanta vegan Facebook groups. I'm sure there's like Boston vegan Facebook groups.
Oh, for sure.
I used to live in like Kansas City, and like even suburbs of Kansas City had their own vegan Facebook groups. So it's definitely growing, and like there's probably a Facebook group out there for you. And it's such a great community resource to go in there and be like, hey, I'm new to this. Can y'all help me like find some restaurants where I can eat at? And if you don't like tofu, be like, I hate tofu. Don't recommend places that have tofu. Because a lot of people are actually soy-free now. It's kind of like one of those things with gluten-free that has just kind of taken off.
Right.
So, you know, those soy-free people also need options. And I think a lot of vegan restaurants are more willing to take dietary restrictions into consideration, because vegan is already a dietary restriction.
Yeah. So, absolutely. So we talked about eating out. Now the other thing, one of my she's a client of mine, and she's been kind of vegan curious for a while, but she's like, how do I be vegan curious with my family? Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, I'd love to hear your takes. I know, you know, when I said I had to go vegan for 6 months, my husband's like, I'm not vegan, right? I was like, no. So what I really ended up doing was I would make my vegan dishes with a side of protein, side of animal protein. So that way, like, I got what I needed and he got what he needed.
Yeah, that's a really good workaround. That's actually what I was going to recommend. Because a lot of times, like, what we eat is a bunch of like different things and different sides along with the animal product. So if you just remove the animal product, and I always tell my clients like add before you subtract. Right. So don't just take out the meat and then eat whatever is left over of the sides, like actually add something back in, because you're going to be super hungry, especially because plant-based food is a lot less calorie dense than animal products. So you're actually going to be eating more volume wise, which is one of my favorite things about being plant-based. I get to eat a ton of food. Going at it that way, also identifying like one meal of the day that maybe other people in your family are willing to cut back on the animal products.
Right.
Maybe it's breakfast, maybe it's lunch, but I think, you know, starting with like one meal a day, or even, you know, one meal out of the whole week, if it just feels really hard to do one meal every day, to reduce that friction and just get those small, quick wins. And that way you kind of start to get more creative and like, okay, how can I incorporate this more into the way my family eats? You know, do they hate vegetables? Like there's a lot of different factors, but I found that, being flexible and open to suggestions from people. Maybe they even want to try a vegan version of their favorite dish. That's something that before my boyfriend went vegan, that's something I would do, is like, okay, what is his favorite food? Like make that vegan and kind of start to show like, hey, this can actually be really flavorful and delicious and enjoyable. You just got to open your mind a little bit.
Agreed. I agree. I think a lot of people don't open their minds to, you know, the possibilities is the best way to describe it. And so as you were speaking, like one of the things I started thinking was, or I have two thoughts here. So one of the big things I focus my ladies on is protein. And one of my challenges with plant-based products is that, you know, I think it's like anything, marketers get involved. And so they'll put their stamp on it and they'll say, this has protein in it. And so, you know, peanut butter has protein, but it's like, but if you really kind of do the math, it's a fat. So how do you kind of work with your clients in that whole kind of, you know, do you ever talk about exploring the macronutrients in that? Or because it's like, it's really easy for me to be like, you know, while peanut butter, I'm making these numbers up off the top of my head, while peanut butter might have 7 grams of protein, it has 40 grams of fat.
Right. Yeah. No, it's definitely a fat. So I'm actually trained in both macros and portioned eating.
Okay.
So whenever, you know, I have a client, I talk to them, see what their lifestyle is, see if they have experience with tracking macros, because that can get a little confusing for people and it sometimes feels intimidating. So I think like eating by portions is sometimes more simple for people that aren't introduced to macros. But as far as like the protein side of it goes, the industry standard for macros does not apply to plant-based diets. There's actually a macro ratio that is specific for plant-based eating because a lot of your proteins do have a higher amount of carbs, but they also have a higher amount of fats. And like there's also this other fact that most Americans eat double the amount of protein that they actually need. So taking that into consideration, a lot of times, like when we go plant-based, we are so stressed about the protein when we should actually be thinking about like, are we getting enough calories, period?
Right.
Because like I said before, animal products are a lot more calorie dense. So it's easier to, you know,
right.
When you a cup of chicken versus a cup of broccoli, like comparable.
No. I like that approach. I like that approach because one of the things I always challenge my clients with is we start with calories and then we could talk, get into the nuances, but you're right. Like one of the, you know, one of my girls, she has been vegan for years and we kind of like separated and we just came back together and I was like, and she wasn't getting the results she wanted. And I said, okay, well, what are you eating? And she's like, well, I don't measure anything. And I was like, okay. I'm like, so what she's like, it's all, you know, it's all plant-based. It's all natural. It's organic, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, you can still overeat tomatoes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and you know, all some of, you know, some of my clients, and I'm sure some of your clients have, you know, diet trauma. So, you know, they used to be that obsessive tracking person. And I was like, you know, if you want to make any changes, we got to know what's going in. And I'm like, even though it is organic and it's whole and you can still overdo it. So I like the fact that you said, start with just tracking the calories and then we can move from calories to like, maybe you're not getting enough calories. So maybe you're overdoing the calories. So then we can kind of starting to be a little bit more nuanced as to, is it kind of scaling back a little bit on, you know, you're having too much peanut butter or you're having too much of something else to like give you those tweaks.
Yeah. And I found that with my clients, like typically the type of person I attract is like very busy, sometimes forget to eat, skip breakfast. They're like skipping breakfast and they're like, oh, it's intermittent fasting. I'm like, no, that's not how that works. Like, okay, how about you explain to me how intermittent fasting works if that's what you claim to be doing? But they're actually under eating and they've been under eating for so long that their metabolism has slowed down. So then when we start working together, I put them on this reverse diet type of meal plan. And they're like, wow, I'm eating so much. And I feel so energized. I'm like, yeah, isn't it
shocking?
Great?
Right.
Like what happens when you give your body enough calories?
It's funny how, you know, people don't realize, like if you've been like restrictive for so long, or disordered for so long, you don't know what good feels like.
Or sometimes you don't know why, like, you feel that way.
You know, I always find that, like, a lot of my girls will have cravings, and I'm like, well, I go, I'm looking at food. I'm like, you're not eating enough. And they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, you're craving because your body's like, hey, I need some more.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So true.
So that, I really like that. So now one of the biggest questions that people are going to be like, all right, we've had great information. Like you're just like, you've answered all the things that I'm like, yes, she's going to talk about that. And we did. Now, how, if I'm like, okay, all right, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while and listening here, how would I start? You know, what would be, you know, how would I, you know, do I just dive into the deep end? Do I wade into the water? What do I do?
So I'm definitely the wade approach because I tried to jump into the deep end and I failed miserably. I would always like quote unquote cheat on Sunday brunch and have my, you know, poached eggs. What's it called? Eggs Benedict. That was my weakness. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was my weakness. I found a restaurant in Atlanta that does tofu Benedict, which is so good. And that was one of my happiest days of my life when I found that out. But yeah, definitely easing into it, I think, is a more sustainable approach because you're not going to overwhelm yourself with so much information.
Yes.
And taking a baby steps at a time will actually help you make this a lifelong thing if that's what you want. Because when we're trying to, you know, make healthy habits, as I'm sure you know with your clients, like when you try to do everything all at once, you know, you're cutting out beef and cutting out chicken and dairy and eggs and all the things. It gets to be too much. And then you're like, F this, I'm just going to go back to my old ways. Like, it's not worth it. It's too much. But when you take it one step at a time, like maybe, you know, the easiest thing for you to give up. I always start my clients with like, what's the easiest thing? What's the least amount of friction? I want you to get that quick win. What's the one animal product that you hardly ever eat? Like, oh, okay, it's fish. All right. From now on, like no more fish. Because you didn't really eat it that much anyways. And then, you know, we try working up our way that way and identifying, like I said, meals where it's a little easier to decide, okay, like from now on, all my breakfasts are going to be plant-based. So I'm definitely a baby steps kind of person.
Me too. I've done multiple times, like I've done the hardcore, like you go home and you just throw all your shit out and you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to eat everything and then I'm going to start. And then you said, like you are so overwhelmed with like, what can't I have versus what can I have?
Yeah. And that type of mindset, I think, can also be really triggering for anyone who does have disordered eating past or diet trauma. Focusing on like what you can't have is also just such a like scarcity mindset. It's like, there's just such an abundance of plant-based foods. So really, I think, you know, a lot of people say when I'm out and about, you know, my friends, I'll be like, oh, you can't eat that. And I always correct them because I can eat whatever I want. Like, I'm vegan, but at the end of the day, I could go to McDonald's right now and get a double quarter pounder or whatever. It's, I don't even know if that's a thing. But,
I know, me either.
But like, I choose not to. It's my decision.
Right.
And I don't think I'm missing out. And I think once you really get a handle of like how to make this work for you and your lifestyle, whether that means, you know, half of the days of the week you eat plant-based and half of the days you don't, make it work for you. And that way you're going to feel like you're not missing out. And like, it's not a restrictive diet. It's like a way of life and a lifelong habit.
You know, I love when I, you know, meet people and they have like very similar philosophies that, that I had. Cause I'm like, yes, yes. Like that, more of that.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that. Cause I feel like people always have to choose hard. Like why do we have to think that we always have to be on team hard and there's going to be this merit badge once I like wade through the hard part and come out on the other side? Like, did you ever see the movie, Shawshank Redemption?
I haven't. I know it's such a classic and I need to watch it. It's been on my list.
Watch it. It's like one of those movies that once you watch it and like, you know how those movies that come on TV and you see them like 5 zillion times and you'll be like, you'll know exactly where it is in the movie. You'll watch it over and over again. That's Shawshank Redemption. So this isn't going to be a spoiler for anyone who's not watched Shawshank. But so in the movie, one of the main characters escapes from prison and he comes out of like the sludge and like immediately the rain comes up. It's, you know, cinematic and the rain comes. And I think that's what people think if they choose the hard path, you know, like if I go hardcore, you know, I'm just going to come and like, you know, the cinematic moment is going to happen at the end. I don't want to be, this is a spoiler alert. It's not going to fucking happen that way. You're going to, you're just going to be miserable for miserable's sake. And you know, I love her I love her approach because it is go for the quick win. So if it means, hey, maybe you only have beef on Sundays, great, that's what it is. Maybe if it's your breakfast is meatless, awesome, right? Pick and choose your battles, you know. And I when we were talking before the call started, when I was vegan for 6 months, I couldn't find a creamer that didn't make it taste like water. And so I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm having creamer. That was my way of going vegan. So you can have your, maybe you're an 80-20 vegan. Maybe you're a 50-50 vegan. You know, there's no, you know, there are, I'm lying. There is a rule book, but you make the rules.
Right. And that's why I think a lot of people have started to call themselves plant-based, because there's more like vagueness around that term. Like it's not so cut and dry where like vegan is like no animal products ever. Plant-based is like you kind of set the definition for that term because there's no official definition. So I call myself plant-based vegan, but yeah, I mean, up until, you know, a couple months ago, I used to eat honey and that's very, very frowned upon in the vegan community. So I'm like kind of outing myself right now. But you know, I had really insane allergies, seasonal allergies. And the only thing that made it better was honey. And I was not about to buy a ton of Claritin because it didn't really work. And I hate pharmaceuticals and taking, you know, conventional drugs. I'm very anti that. So, you know, honey was one of those things that like, it was the only thing that was working for me. And of course, you know, I bought it local and made sure it was from like a local beekeeper. But yeah, there's just so many different things like that in the vegan community. For example, like our fly traps vegan, you know, like if you kill a bug in your home, like I definitely, if I see a cockroach in my apartment, I'm gonna kill it. Like I'll, you know, pray after I kill it, be like, you know, dear God, send this cockroach to heaven. Sorry, I had to kill you, but you, you know, invaded my space and that's not okay.
Right.
And a lot of people are like, that's not vegan. And I'm just like, whatever. Like,
okay. You live with it.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. You are the all knowing, the vegan police. Exactly. So.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And I had another question that literally flew out of my head. We're talking about you decide what vegan is and so forth. Yeah, it's gone. but yeah, I absolutely, this is, has been a great conversation. This, you know, the one takeaway that I hope everyone has taken away from this is that you make the rules. You define where you start. You define where you end. It's think of it as a process. You know, there's no one size fits all approach to this, right? This is what it is. It came back in my head. All right. So
yay.
So I have people who are like, I'm going vegan because I want to feel so much better. Now I'm going to be honest. I'm feeling indifferent. I did not feel any different. And, you know, so for those people to bring you up to speed, what the hell I'm talking about. I had really high estrogen. And so one of the ways for me to kind of get rid of the estrogen in my body rather quickly was for me to remove all animal products. So ergo, I went vegan for 6 months. I gotta say, at this point, my health was like in the shitter. I was exhausted. I was, you know, I had zero energy. So my doctor was like, hey, you know, it could just be the estrogen just wreaking havoc through all of your systems. Could be the plant, you know, could be you going plant-based could help you out. I gotta say, I felt like shit. Like all the time, I still felt like shit.
Really? Did it help your estrogen at all?
It totally, like, if for my estrogen, it was like exactly what I needed just to like a, I don't know, a detox, if you will.
Yeah, definitely.
For my estrogen, it was exactly what I needed to do. And if anyone ever told me they had high estrogen, that's something I would be like, hey, do this, you know, even if it's 50-50 vegan. Yeah. I went deep down the vegan rabbit hole, but I didn't feel any better. So now when people tell me that they want to feel better, I'm like, I, from my experience, can't say, yeah, you're going to feel amazing. Cause I was like, oh, I felt the same.
Yeah. So were you like, did your doctor kind of recommend what types of foods to eat, or were you kind of going at it alone and you didn't really know like what to eat?
I mean, I knew what to eat. Like, I literally knew, like, I wasn't eating the junk food stuff. I did exactly the way you did it. It was like I literally ate a lot of soups because I just, some vegetables, I don't like the texture. So I made just like a shit ton of soup for a lot of different things. And in that soup, I put in a lot of beans and pastas and things like that. So, I lived a lot off of soup. That was my go-to, but it was like, I would roast the vegetables and all this other stuff. I guess maybe it's kind of like, you know, you hear about like a movie and everyone tells you the movie's amazing. You go see the movie and you're like, eh. So I think maybe in my mind, everyone's like, oh my God, when I went vegan, I had so much energy, blah, blah, blah. And I think because I was like just so energyless for so long that I thought like, okay, this could possibly be something to give me energy. And it just didn't happen. So, you know, for people that you work with, do they find that, you know, getting rid of, you know, some of the meat, does it give them the energy that they're looking for, that relieve some of the heaviness that they're having their, you know, digestive systems?
Definitely. Like all my one-on-one clients that I've had have gotten some level of results, whether it's weight loss. Like I had one client who was a male and he wanted to actually gain weight, and we were able to do that as well. So it really depends on like the person and what they're going for, but we have gotten transformations for all of them. And a lot of times they are feeling more energized. Their skin clears up, their digestive system gets better. One of my clients was actually concerned because she was pooping so much. I was like, girl, that's normal. Like, that's good.
Yeah, that's all that fiber.
Yeah. Like, vegan shits are the best. Like, so much poop. Anyways.
It's good for you to know, because I think many people, because they don't have a lot of fiber in their diet. And then also when you kind of start, like, especially if you went the cold turkey route and you just like dove in, your body's like, whoa,
and
you're going to have some quality time in the bathroom. So don't think that you're like, oh crap, something's wrong with me. No, just your body hasn't had that one amount of natural fiber for probably ever.
Like, it's like something crazy, like 95% of Americans aren't getting their recommended amount of fiber. It's insane. So I always joke that, like, oh, it's the the other percentage is like the 2% of vegans out there in the world, but that's not necessarily true, because there's a ton of vegans that are not getting their fiber either.
So I'm glad to hear that, you know, certain people can find that they will get that energy from there.
I think you're one of the first people to tell me like you felt the exact same. Like, I've never heard of that happening.
Yeah.
Even when my boyfriend went vegan, like he wasn't particularly like healthy vegan. But even then, like, he lost weight, and like, I did like a side by side of both of us, because whenever he changed to vegan is when I started transitioning to like whole foods, plant-based. And it's just crazy. Like you can see it in our faces too, where we had lost weight and like weren't as inflamed. But yeah, I mean, you go in any vegan Facebook group and people are like, oh, I've lost whatever pounds, or like, I'm off my diabetes medication, I'm off my cholesterol meds, I'm, you know, my skin is cleared up, just like so many good health benefits. So at the end of the day, it really comes down to like, what are you actually eating? And is it enough? And, you know, getting down to like, whatever issue you're trying to solve with a plant-based diet, like knowing the real background of that issue, like getting your blood tests done to know, you know, what is actually going on behind the scenes, because you could be tired and it could be a million different things.
Right. And so I'm going to just kind of put a asterisk on the weight loss here. The asterisk here is that if you are deciding to go vegan because you think you're going to lose weight, I'm going to tell you that it's not 100% guarantee. I've met plenty of vegans that have weight to lose. So as we talked about earlier, it's just a matter of your food choices, right? You know, if you're overdoing it with the peanut butter and the beans and the legumes, it's going to be, you're going to be real hard pressed to lose some weight there. So, you know, so you can overeat calories, you know, and I want you to really think about if you are going down that weight loss route, have a conversation with a professional, right? Don't try to piece it together with like freebies that you find on the internet, you know.
Oh my God, yeah.
Work with a professional who can better guide you through the process. In, you know, just because I'm vegan, I'm keto, I'm Whole 30, I'm this, I'm that, I'm that, it's not a slam dunk for weight loss. So I just gotta throw it out there. What's a slam dunk for weight loss is a calorie deficit and following a process so that you know what the hell's going on, so that you know, oh, when I eat this, I feel like that. When I eat that, I feel like this. And that's how, one of the things I did learn from my 6 months is like what foods worked with me and what foods didn't.
Yeah. And that also brings up another good point that I like totally didn't mention. It was such an integral part of my healthy vegan journey, going from like junk food to plant-based, was keeping a food journal of like, what did I eat that day and how much of it? Because you don't, like, you can't, what's it called? I totally blanked. Like, if you don't track it, how will you know?
I know. Yes. I think it's Robin Sharma. Could be wrong. As he goes, what gets measured gets done.
Yes. Yes,
so
definitely.
I know, trust me, food journals are a pain in the ass, but how do you know, right? It's like, I, you know, you guys know, I love CSI. That's one of my favorite shows. Dead body in the room. Does like Horatio walk in and be like, someone hit him in the head with a hammer and walks out? No, he collects all the evidence and goes back to the lab to figure out what the hell is going on.
It's like paying off debt, for example. Like, how will you know how long it's going to take you if you don't know what's in the bank right now, or like what your balance is?
125%. 125%. All right. This has been like more than what I wanted. This was like, I like set the bar. I'm like, if I can talk about these three things, I'm ecstatic. We've blown those three things out of the water.
Yay!
And I absolutely love that. So the one thing I have left to ask all of my guests is, what makes you feel magical?
Is it cheesy if I say vegetables?
No, that's not cheesy. Now, do you have like a special, like, do you have like a go-to vegetable? Like, you're like, in my pantry every single week, this is in my pantry.
It's definitely broccoli for me. And that's partially also because I've just like, since I was a little girl, I was super hippie and I always thought they looked like little trees. And I just love the idea of eating little trees. Also, I was one of those weird kids that actually loved their vegetables when I was young. So I like have this really clear memory of eating at a Chinese restaurant, and I had ordered beef and broccoli, like obviously pre-vegan, pre-vegetarian days. And I was like separating the beef out from the broccoli and eating the broccoli first. And the waitress was so shocked. She was blown away. She was like, oh my God, how do you get your child to eat vegetables like that? Asking my mom. So yeah, I really love broccoli ever since I was little.
That's awesome. Yeah. broccoli, I think for a lot of people, I think broccoli is kind of one of those, like, in the top five of vegetables that people will eat, you know, where I think a lot of other vegetables are a little too aggressive. Although now, I want to say, maybe starting in the last, like, 7-ish years, Brussels sprouts. If you would have thrown a Brussels sprout at me, maybe when I was a kid, I would have been like, no, like, it's not gonna happen. Now I'm like, oh, bring them on.
Yeah. Now I see them at bars, like, as served as, like, bar food. I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll have some Brussels sprouts with my beer.
Right. Well, that's how, like, my husband started to eat Brussels sprouts. My husband likes five vegetables, literally five. And so he was like, Kim, I was out and I had these Brussels sprouts and it had pancetta in it. And da, 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 da. And I'm like, the fact that you even put that into your lips, I'm just shocked. So
that's
I started putting the pancetta in it, and then I slowly started to pull the pancetta out of it and just put some olive oil and, like, cook the crap out of it so it was nice and crispy. And he now
likes it. Yeah. So good.
All right. So thank you so much. And so I found you on Instagram. Where can people find you? Give your handle so I can put that in the show notes for them.
Definitely. Yeah. Instagram is my favorite place to hang out. So my handle is Veggie Vale. That's VEGIVALE. And my website is the same, VEGIVALE.com. I also have a free Facebook community called Plant-Based Nutrition for the Energized Entrepreneur. So go live in there every Tuesday, sharing my favorite tips. And it's just a fun place to hang out with all my peoples.
I love it. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for this conversation. And you guys, if you have any questions, comments, she gave you her information, reach out to her. She gives you the straight stuff, just even in her content on Instagram. But if you have a specific question, I know she will answer it. No problem.
Yes. Thank you so much. And one quick thing I just wanted to add. I love saying, like, you have two forever homes in this lifetime, the earth and your body. Mm. And a plant-based diet can help with both of those, taking care of them. So you can feel truly energized every day. So if you're listening to this and you're curious at all, like, don't be shy. I love, love, love meeting new people. Like, please send me a DM so that we can connect, because that's what I'm here to do. That's my life's calling. So thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. This has been great. All right, Magic Makers, you got your vegan fix. So hit me up, screenshot this, and give me one takeaway that you got from this show. And be sure to tag Valera as well. All right. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.